Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you'll also know the Father. From now on, you do not know him. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters, today we celebrate Mother's Day, a day on which we honor our mothers, living and dead. We honor them for their care, concern, and unconditional love for us throughout the years of our lives. It is one of those special days we cherish and look forward to each year. But the liturgical instructions require that this secular observance must in no way diminish the primary focus of this Sunday as the celebration of the Paschal mystery. Therefore, let us meditate on the readings of this Sunday. The first reading presents to us the appointment of the seven deacons. And this was done as a way of resolving some controversies that had arisen among the early church, the early Christian community. The Jews who had become Christians, had come from two separate groups. There were the Hebrews and the Hellenists. The Hebrews were the Jews who had lived all their lives in Palestine. They attended the synagogue where the Bible was read in Hebrew and followed the traditions of their fathers, and they were also very attached to the law of Moses. The Hellenists, on the other hand, were the Jews of a very different type. They had grown up abroad and had embraced some Hebrew customs, They did not feel bound by the traditions and all the little rules imposed by the rabbis. So the division which arose was due to these differences. The tension between the two groups grew and came to a bursting point when differences arose about the distributions of the goods of the community. The Hellenists, who were the minority, complained because the Hebrews were given preferential treatment, and the situation was becoming scandalous. That is when the disciples proposed the appointment of 7 people who enjoyed the respect of all. These would be responsible for the distribution to the poor. My dear brothers and sisters, this reminds us that the church is made up of people, not angels. In its long history, the church has had to deal with envy, jealousy, and misunderstandings among the people of different backgrounds. This was certainly not a good thing, but it was, after all, normal. So we shouldn't, therefore, be scandalized or discouraged by this sort of situation when it happens in our church today. It reminds us of our sinfulness and of our constant need to turn to Christ. The closer we approach him, the greater will be the unity among us. Because before his ascension to heaven, he prayed for unity among those who believe in him. Father, that they may be one as we are one. That was one of his greatest prayers before his ascension to heaven. And faced by this need of the community, the apostles did not hold on to all authority. They invited the whole community to choose among themselves capable persons who would oversee charitable works. They kept for themselves only one, the ministry of the word, meaning preaching. This is the reason why we have so many ministries in our parish and in every other parish. So many ministries, so many people who work around us. You know, if you come to our office, we'll find so many ministries being taken care of in a very good way. It is the same as what the disciples, the early church, did because they foresaw this need. And our purpose is the same as that of the early church, that the priests may be freed to do the most essential ministry, that is celebrating Mass and the other sacraments, which other lay people cannot do. So whenever you get an opportunity to serve in these ministries, feel happy that you are doing the good service which was initiated by the early church. The gospel passage is taken from the first 3 farewell addresses that Jesus gave during the Last Supper and thereafter, just after Judas had left the room. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. This is one of the statements that Jesus gave. So Jesus knew his disciples would have to face adversity and trials after he left them to return to his Father. That's why he was consoling them with these strong words. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So he comforts them by telling them his departure is to his father's house with a view of preparing a place for them. But why preparing a place? It was customary to send someone ahead to prepare a place to stay and make arrangements for meals. You recall that before the Last Supper, Jesus had sent his disciples, Peter and John, to prepare a place where he and the rest of his disciples would have their Last Supper in the upper room. So it was customary. So by saying this, Jesus means that he is our forerunner in heaven. He goes on in front for us to follow. He opens up the way so that we may follow in his steps. Out of curiosity and eagerness to know, the disciples asked Jesus how they could know the way. It is a similar question which children asked the Holy Father Pope Francis during his visit to America last year. They said, "How many ways are there to heaven?" They were asking the Holy Father, and he answered, "There are many ways to get to heaven, as many as there are people." So there are many ways to live life as well, but not all lead to happiness. Some actually lead to despair, anger, and resentment. Some lead to a dead end. But today, Jesus gives us a profound answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, Jesus is the way. If you want to climb to the top of Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world, then it would be a good idea to take a guide along with you. If you want to go for a safari in Tanzania or elsewhere, it's a good idea to take a tour guide with you, and you will always be given one, someone who knows the way. Similarly, if you want to go to heaven, you should follow Jesus because he knows the way. Before coming to us, he was there in heaven, so he knows how to get there. In fact, he is the way. The way Jesus traveled was the way of the cross, the Via Crucis, that's how we call it. The way of the cross, the way of the resurrection, and the way of the ascension. This is the way which we have to follow if at all you want to get where he is. And in fact, he told us, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself, take up his cross every day, not only for a single day, every day, and follow me. But sometimes when God allows some challenges, when he gives us a chance to carry his cross and follow him, we become discouraged. We think it is too much for us. We think we are having more than we can endure. But God tells us that, scripture tells us that God cannot allow us to be tempted beyond what we can endure. Whenever he allows some tribulations to come to us, to come to our life, he knows that we can go through it if we trust in him, as Jesus did when he was carrying his cross on the way to Calvary. He never gave up. He knew that his Father was with him. He was greatly troubled, like we do, and at one moment he wished this cup would pass away from him. But still, he submitted his will to the will of his heavenly Father. God Let this cup pass away from me, but not as I will, but as you will. So this is what we should do. Because there is no other way to get to heaven other than the Via Crucis, the way of the cross. So if you wish to live your life with more than just niceness and kindness, then it would be a good idea to model your life after someone who lived their life authentically. We have the saints, but most of all, we have Christ himself, who is the truth, the personification of the truth itself, who is God. Remember when Pilate asked him that I have the authority to set you free and to crucify you. Tell me the truth. And then Jesus said, I came to witness to the truth. And then Pilate asked him, what is the truth? In fact, as the Holy Father, the Saint John Paul II, the way he commented here, he said, Pilate did not understand. The correct formulation of his question would have been, who is the truth? Not what is the truth? Because the truth is God himself, is Jesus. So he is the truth. If you wish to live your life to the fullest, not necessarily to the longest, but a life full of love, unconditional love, follow Jesus because he is the life. So let us always strive to walk in the commandments of God and believe in the truth of the gospel so that we can finally attain life which is eternal. Amen.